We had singing this morning, y'all sound wonderful. The sermon this morning, I've titled it Step by Step. We have different sayings that we say in our lives. Just take one step at a time. Sometimes I take two steps forward and one backwards. It's just one huge step. Well, just take baby steps. We have that throughout our life, everything we do. Seems to be a step-by-step approach. Examples, you leave your car and you go somewhere. It's step-by-step. You grab the keys, you open the door, you go outside, you get the car, put the keys in the ignition. You know where you're going, but you've got to go this street and this street and this street and this street. It's all a step-by-step approach, and then you come back home. But if you leave out some of those steps in the middle, what happens? What happens if you leave the keys in the kitchen, you get to the car? It's not going to start, is it? So it's all step by step in order to get from one place to the next place. You take a job. Most times we started or are starting at the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak. And you work your way up, step by step by step. However far you want to go or however far your abilities, knowledge, and what you want to do, but step by step, you have to do things in order to get to where you want to be. In our dating lives, when we were younger, maybe we dated several people, maybe just one or two, whatever the case might be, but it was a step by step approach as we went through our teens. We dated someone. If we found the one we wanted or liked and the feelings were mutual, engagement, marriage, kids, starting a family, but it was all step-by-step approach. We took a trip. Eddie and Lily took a trip. We didn't just say, well, we're going to walk out the door and go here. It was a step-by-step approach. On our trip, we happened to be driving, and we kind of knew where we wanted to go, and we kind of, we knew some things that we wanted to see, but we didn't really have an agenda, and yet we kind of did. And I'm one of these guys, I'm old school, if you will. I like paper map books. I can see where I'm going. I can see where this road goes to this road, to this road, to this road. The whole state. I'm not a Google kind of guy. I don't even know how to work Google in my car. Somebody's got to give me directions if they want me to get where I don't know where I'm going. But anyway, I did that, and it was a step-by-step approach. Most of you were. I think I mentioned last time we traveled 3,400 miles and we're 9 different states, I believe. You can't do that without some kind of a plan, some kind of a step-by-step approach to get from point A to point B to point C and find yourself back home. If you left here to go to Florida, you would have to have a map of some kind to get from here to there or you're going to get lost. You have to have step-by-step approach. If you've got a trip that you've really planned out, you've got motels where you're staying, you've got towns where you want to be, you've got things that you want to see, you've got trips that you want to take, side trips and stuff, all step by step. I want to start this lesson this morning. We'll start it in 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 and 15. That's a familiar passage for most of us. Paul's letter to Timothy, and he tells Timothy this. He says, remind them, that's the church in Ephesus, of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Okay, words that don't mean anything, don't get tied up in them. And then he tells Timothy, he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Another passage, another way of saying this is study. Show yourself approved to God. Be that worker who does not need to be ashamed. Study. Know my word. Know what I want you to do. Never be ashamed. And then the end of this verse gets left off a lot. Because we all just quote, well, you got to study and show yourself approved. Okay, that's cool. What's that going to give me? Why do I need to do that? Well, the other step to this verse is so that you can rightly divide the word of God. So that you know if someone's pulling something out of context and trying to, you know, put it off on you. You also know yourself. Don't be pulling stuff out of context to prove a point. Probably somewhere in our lives, most of us have done that. I know I have. Well, it says so right here. You know, somebody doesn't really know what they're doing. You can do what you can do that. Yeah. But we have to be careful of that because Paul's telling Timothy, we need to rightly divide that word of God. We need to know if someone's pulling stuff out of context. People need to know if they've been taught stuff out of context. A lot of times people are taught things, they believe it because the preacher said it. They never studied. They never opened the Bible up. Okay? But Paul's saying here, you study so that you can rightly divide that word of God. Okay, that's the first thing. Now, I want to go to 1 John. First John chapter 5, verses 3 through 6. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 through 6. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Baptized. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who else is going to overcome the world except those? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is fruitful. Okay? Now, back to the first part of that, in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That's a command. Now, does it say we can pick and choose? No. It says, keep his commandments. That's all inclusive. Now, at times that can be difficult. I agree. I understand. But we have no clue of keeping God's commands if first we don't study and show ourselves approved. If we don't first rightly know how to divide the word of God. That has to come first. Now, once we've studied, once we've grown that knowledge, now we can begin to keep God's commands. Now, this morning, I want to talk about six basic commands. We mentioned in class, and I've mentioned to you before, under research, and what I've discovered is that throughout the New Testament, there's over 1,000 commands. A lot of those commands pertain to the same thing. But there's over 1,000 commands in the New Testament. So we're going to take a look at six basic commands. Now, as I mentioned when we started this, our lives are all tied in to a step-by-step approach. Well, our Christian life is the same way. It's a step-by-step approach in becoming a Christian and staying a Christian. Okay? Now, we've all heard the plan for salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, baptize, and live faithful. So what does that mean? I want to take a little different look at that this morning as to why it's set up this way. Why did God do it this way? God always has a purpose. God has a plan. If you look at his plan, it's step by step by step. What he's done from the time that he brought the universe into being to the floods, to all the things with the Israelites in the desert, to Christ dying on the cross, to where we are today. It's all a step-by-step approach by God. But he had a plan. And he still has a plan. Just like we do in our own lives. So step one hearing God's word. I want to look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek. All right? So, how do we diligently seek if at first we can't hear God's word? We have to be able to hear God's word. Romans 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17. Let's back up to, let's say 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so where does this faith come from? It comes from hearing. What is the start of the plan of salvation? Hearing God's word. It's a command. God says, you need to hear my word. And that hearing that you need to hear, faith comes from it. So, can you just walk out and say, okay, I've never heard God's word, but I got faith. No. Faith that you put the key in the ignition of the car and it's going to start, or faith that you go over and flip the light switch and the lights are coming on, is a whole different kind of faith than the faith that you have as a Christian and the faith in God. Knowing that at the end, if we've lived our life right, God's grace is going to cover a multitude of things, and we have a promise of a home in heaven. God tells us that. He promises that if we keep his commands. First command in this plan of salvation that he has set up is to hear his word. That's the first step. Now I ask you this. If you didn't do this first step, how could you continue? It'd be pretty difficult, wouldn't it? How do you know to be baptized if you didn't first hear? Has to be that way. Now, I want to parallel this with a ladder up against a building. Let's say that ladder has a couple, three missing steps in it. You got the bottom rung and two, maybe one or two up on the top. But you got a 10 or 15 foot roof that you're climbing up on. And in the middle of that ladder, there's two or three steps gone. How do you reach your destination? You can't. It's impossible. The law of physics won't let you. Because if you try to get from this step to up here and your legs aren't long enough to do that, you're going to fall through and fall to the bottom. So as we look at this, we've got the ladder set up against the roof. We've got the first step to the roof of hearing God's word. Okay? Now, second step is in John 8, verse 24. Let me get into chapter 8, not 18. I didn't think that would be mine. Eddie, it must be running in the air this morning. John 8, verse 24. Therefore, now this is Jesus speaking. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That's a profound statement from Jesus. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, he being the Son of God, he being Jesus. If you don't believe that, you're going to die in your sins. Believe in me. It's a command. So now we've seen where we need to hear about God's word. We also now are in a position where we've heard it, that we have to believe it. It's not a choice if this plan's going to work. It's not a choice on the ladder to go from the first rung to the fourth rung. You don't have that choice. You have to take it step by step to get to the root. We have heard, we believe. Okay, that's cool. I can stop. I believe in Jesus. Well, it says right here, all you have to do is believe. It says right here, God's grace will save me. You take the whole book of Romans and build a wonderful case on being saved by grace only. If you want to pull stuff out of context. But a lot of people out there in the world, I've got an idea, there's probably some in the church that say, okay, I've heard God's word, and I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe all that. That's all I got to do. I sat out on the boat one night. This big bolt of lightning came down, and boom, I'm fine. We've got relatives and friends and family that believe that. Why? Because that's what they've been taught. A couple of years ago, we were in a memorial service for one of Peg's cousins. And this preacher had the audacity to use Mark 16, 15 and 16 and separate out all you have to do is believe as a teaching. I so wanted to stand up, but you can't. I mean, how do you do that in the middle of a funeral or a memorial service? And I couldn't get to him afterwards because I wanted to ask him, how are you pulling that out of context? But people do it. All you got to do is believe, and you can pull this verse right here. For I say, believe in me, or you'll die in your sins. Okay. I believe in Jesus. I'm okay. Well, let's look on. Now, I want to look at Luke 13. Luke 13, verses 1 through 3. Because now we're rightly dividing the Word of God, right? We're looking at everything that God has to say. Luke 13, 1 through 3. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, again, this is Jesus talking, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? And what did he say? He said, I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's from Jesus. It's a command. Jesus says, unless you repent, you will perish. In 2 Corinthians 7, Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. In other words, don't ever think it's the wrong thing to repent, and don't regret it. But the sorrow of the world produces death. So, Paul's saying here, don't be sorry for regretting the sins that you've got and repenting of them. Be sorry for living in the world and not repenting of them. But the point here is, godly sorrow produces repentance. That leads to salvation. Luke, verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Sounds to me like repentance is pretty important. Sounds to me like it's a command. Sounds to me like it's got to be part of this ladder. It's got to be part of this step-by-step approach to get me from where I am in the world to a place that I'm over here in salvation. Repentance is a doing away of sin. It's knowingly getting rid of the sin that's in your life. So now we've got people that say, okay, I've heard God's word. I believe God's word. And I'll give up 90% of what I'm doing. There's just some things that I like to do. I'm not giving those up. Well, it doesn't work that way. Jesus says, unless you repent of your sin, there is no salvation. Paul tells the Corinthians, godly sorrow is what produces repentance. So, if you're not hearing and you don't believe, how are you even going to have this godly sorrow that leads to repentance? Can't be done. But regardless of all those things, repentance is a command. We're told to hear, we're told to believe, and we're told to repent. Okay, well, that's good enough. I'll stop right there. That's cool. I'm good. Because that's what the preacher said. I don't need anything else. Well, back to the ladder on the building. You're only halfway up to the roof. How do you get from the ground to the roof and you're only halfway up? You got to have a couple more steps in there, don't you? Okay? So, Romans 10. You guys have seen all my favorite verses this morning, by the way. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, talks about something else we need to do. I'm going back up to verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. Okay? Again, that leads back to hearing, doesn't it? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Oh, that's cool. I don't have to do anything else. It says so right here. All I got to do is confess with my mouth that I believe in Jesus. And I'm going to be saved. A lot of people think that. A lot of people have been taught that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people this morning being taught that. We see in verse 8, we need to hear God's word. We've seen in 2 Timothy that we need to study. That we need to rightly divide the word of God. We've seen in 1 John, and there's a lot of other verses that say, obey my commands. And we're seeing here that we need to hear, we need to believe, we need to repent. And I think we're in agreement, so those are all commands. And now, Paul tells the Romans, confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus is who he is, and you believe in your heart that. That's a command. Now we're a little further up the ladder. We've heard the word. We've believed what we heard. And because of that, I'm willing to repent. I've got godly sorrow. And for sure, I think Jesus is the Son of God. I think he was raised from the dead. I mean, he came to this earth. He was born here. He lived here. He died here. He was buried in a tomb. And he was resurrected. I believe all that. Well, now here comes the next thing. Why not stop doing this? Well, you're not doing what? Well, everybody wants me to be baptized. I'm not doing that. Why? Well, because I don't think I need to. Because it says right here, all I have to do is confess, and I'm cool. So let's look at it. What does God have to say? Let's go back to this Mark 16. Mark 16, 15, 16. We all know that. Most of us, in a way, we know it by heart. It reads this way. He who believes... Okay, let's just stop there. Because that's what I heard at that memorial service. All you got to do is believe. It says so right here. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's a command. That's Jesus speaking. But he who does not believe will be condemned. See, I told you all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is leave out that word baptized. He who believes will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. It says so right here. I just chopped off the word baptized. Y'all have heard that before, somewhere along the way. But it doesn't say that, does it? And verse 15, back up a little bit, he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Back again, hear it. But we've added to our list here now that you not only have to believe, but now you have to be baptized. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. These are probably two of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. 19 and 20. The end of Matthew. And Jesus tells his disciples, it says this. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's why we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're told to. It's a command. Jesus told his disciples to go into all nations and make them disciples and baptize them. Why? Because that's the only way they were going to be saved. Now verse 20, I love this verse. He says, go into all these nations and teach them, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. There's no lenience in there. Observe all things that you have learned. And you do this, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. These two verses keep me doing what I'm doing. It's comforting to know that as long as I can do God's work, and I'm willing to do it, and I have a place to do it, it's my obligation to do it. And God tells me, if you do all that, and you do what I'm asking you to do, I will be with you until the end of ages. Amen. Acts 2. Again, a very familiar passage. Acts chapter 2, verses 38-41. People in the crowd said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They heard Peter preaching. And Peter said to them, what? Just believe. He said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. He wants everybody. Everyone is called. But few choose to obey. And we know that. There's several passages. Getting into heaven is going to be harder than going through the eye of a needle. Many are going to be called, few are going to be chosen. Matthew chapter 7 talks about people are going to say, well, I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did that. And God, Jesus is going to say, I don't even know you, go away. Just because you're a good person is not going to grant you a pass into heaven. That helps. But you also have to be obedient. And Peter said to him, you have to repent, and every one of you need to be baptized. Acts 22:16. Acts 22, verse 16. This question is asked. Paul, on the way to Damascus, was struck down in the middle of the road. He was blinded. And now he's been taught, and this is the question that's being asked. And now, why are you waiting? Paul, what's going on? Just arise and be baptized. Wash your sins away. Call on the name of the Lord. That's all you got to do. Just get it done. We hear that a lot of times in the invitation at worship services. Why are you waiting? Just arise and be baptized. You've heard the word. You believe it. You're willing to repent. You've confessed Jesus as the Son of God. Now it's time to be baptized. Why are you waiting? Well, I just don't think I need to do that. I truthfully can say this. I don't understand what the big hang-up on baptism is. In the world. In family. In friends. I don't understand what the hang-up of finishing the steps up the ladder. I don't understand why. God says to do it. Jesus says to do it. Paul says to do it. Peter says to do it. Somewhere you got to believe that you got to have it done. They can't all be lying to us. All right? So, now, here we've got five commands done. We hear it, we believe it, we've repented, we've confessed, and boy, I took that step, I got myself baptized. Now I'm cool. You know, you go back, once saved, always saved. Well, once baptized, always baptized, right? Nothing more for me to do. I've done everything God wanted me to do. Really. Well, let's take a look at what Revelation 2, chapter 10 has to say. Chapter 2, verse 10. Eddie, it's catching, I'm telling you. Revelation 2, verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. This is a letter from the angel to the church at Smyrna. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. What? Today, right? Beware, the devil's out there. That you may be tested. But we're tested on a daily basis, 24/7. And you will have tribulation 10 days. And then he says, be faithful unto death. Why? I will give you a crown of life. That's a command. That's the last step in the ladder. You've now gone from ground to roof. You've now gone from living in a world to a promise of salvation from God that you're keeping His commands. These are only six commands. But they're basic commands. They're commands that have to be done. And all the other commands are in the New Testament. If you're faithful unto death, you've just covered all the rest of the obligation. You've just covered all the rest of the demands, the commands God has. It's like when you read in 1 Corinthians, was chapter 13, the love chapter? Yeah. It is faith, hope, love is the greatest. All right, why is that in there? Why is that in there? Because if you love, all those other things aren't going to happen. You're not going to murder. You're not going to steal from people. You're going to respect your mom and dad. You're going to respect God. If you love. So you don't need all this other stuff. So if you're faithful unto death, if you do what God wants you to do, and you have a love for God in doing all this stuff, and you'll automatically obey His commands. Don't have to worry about it. Now you can say you're cool. Because I've heard the word, I believed it, I repented, I confessed, I was baptized, and I'm going to live my life accordingly thereafter. A lot of stuff out there is junk. I don't know if I brought a lesson up here, but I did a vlog on it. There's a narrow gate and a wide gate. It's talked about. Well, that wide gate is the gate that has the big bus. And you can drive this bus. You can let Satan drive this bus. You can let one of your friends drive this bus. But it's a party bus. You can do anything you want to do. drugs, alcohol, adultery, swear, it doesn't matter, you can do whatever you want to do, just climb on the bus, because that gate's wide enough, it'll let anything through. That's Satan's gate. The other gate is the narrow gate. That gate you get through by living your life faithfully. That gate you get through by obeying God's commands. So there's two choices in life. We can either stay in the world, or we can become a Christian. We can either stay with Satan, or we can be with God. We can either use the narrow gate, or party on and use the wide gate. Every time it comes down to it, there's two choices to be made. I don't care what you're looking at. It's called alternative choice. If you've got a real good salesman trying to sell you something, he will use that. Do you want this car or do you want this car? No choice in there not to have either one of them. You're going to make a decision which one you want. Do you want this suit or do you want this suit? Do you want this dress or do you want this dress? Alternative choice. But it always comes down to two. I want to finish this with this. One step at a time, dear Savior, I cannot take any more. The flesh is so weak and hopeless, I know not what is before. One step at a time, dear Savior, I am not walking by sight. Keep step with my soul, dear Savior, I walk by faith in thy sight. One step at a time, dear Savior, O guard my faltering feet. Keep hold of my hand, dear Savior, till I my journey complete. One step at a time, dear Savior, thou knowest all of my fear. One word from thy heart, dear Savior, and heaven's missions, mansions appear. One step at a time, dear Savior, till faith grows stronger in thee. One step at a time, dear Savior, till hope goes stronger in me. One step at a time. If you need baby steps, that's okay. But it's one step at a time. The lesson is yours this morning. If you've not put Jesus on in baptism, if you've not gone into a watery grave and left your old self over here and came out new over here, and you need to do that this morning, why wait? Arise. Be baptized. What Bible teaches. What God teaches. What Jesus says. What Peter says. What Paul says. If your life has gone off track, maybe you need help through prayer. We're here for you. Let us know. Either way, if you have anything in your life, if you need to have help, make it known as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Softly and tenderly.